Thanks for the presentation, and it's an honor for me to present these data on behalf of my co-authors. My presentation is on favorable cardiovascular risk factor profile, socioeconomic status, and long-term high-sensitivity CRP. And these results are from the Chicago Healthy Aging Study, or CHAS. So I have no relationships to disclose. So a little background on the topic. Higher socioeconomic status is associated with lower CVD risk. Having a favorable CVD risk profile, or being low risk, is associated with lower C-reactive protein. However, the influence of SES levels on the association of CVD risk profile with CRP remains unclear. So our objective was to assess the relationship between a favorable cardiovascular risk profile, or being low risk during early middle age or early adulthood, and subsequent long-term CRP by education levels, which was our proxy for SES. So a little background on the Chicago Healthy Aging Study, or CHAS. CHAS's purpose was to generate new data on the long-term associations of cardiovascular low risk in young adulthood or early middle age among both men and women. And CHAS itself was a follow-up study of a select sample from the Chicago Heart Association Detection Project in Industry, or CHA study, which was a prospective cohort study that ran in Chicago from 1967 to 1973. So all CVD risk factor profiles were ascertained at baseline. They collected data on blood pressure, cholesterol, BMI, diabetes, and smoking status. The age range at baseline was 25 to 44 years. And the follow-up examination was conducted in 2007 to 2010, so about 40 years later. And it consisted of 1,395 participants from CHA. 28% were women, 19.5% were low risk at baseline, and the age range at follow-up was 65 to 84 years on average. And as I mentioned before, high sensitivity CRP was measured at follow-up. So a little bit on high-sensitivity C-reactive protein. It's a sensitive assay, it's a global indicator of future vascular events, and it's used to assess CVD risk and therapeutic outcomes in primary CVD prevention. As I mentioned before, it was measured at follow-up from either serum or plasma. We used a latex particle-enhanced assay kit, and we dichotomized hsCRP at 3 milligrams per liter. And the reason we did this is because this is the cut point for high risk of developing a CVD event. So out of the 1,395 participants, we ended up excluding about 70 participants because their hsCRP levels were over 10 milligrams per liter. And the reason we did this is that anytime you have hsCRP over 10, it's usually from a non-cardiovascular event. So we wanted to focus on cardiovascular events for our study. So we ended up with about 1,325 participants, 963 men and 362 women. And we divided the CVD risk factor categories into four. So our first category is low risk. And in this category, we're going to have all CVD risk factors at optimal levels. So blood pressure under or equal to 120 over 80, not taking any hypertension medication, serum total cholesterol under 200, not taking any cholesterol-lowering medication, BMI under 25, not overweight or obese, no diabetes at baseline, and not currently smoking at baseline. For the next risk factor category, we call this category zero risk factors high. And what this is that all cardiovascular risk factors are not going to be at optimal levels, but they're not going to be at extremely high levels either. So we have ranges for this one. So for systolic blood pressure, 121 to 139, diastolic, 81 to 89, not taking any hypertension or medication, cholesterol, 200 to 239, not taking any cholesterol-lowering medication, BMI 25 to 29.9, no diabetes, and not currently smoking at baseline. And the last two categories were any one high risk factor or any two or more risk factors high. So for the study, we kind of split everyone into two education attainment categories. Lower education, so under or equal to 15 years, and this is going to contain everything from some high school to some college, and higher education, over or equal to 16 years. And this is going to contain anywhere from college grad to college plus. So a little bit on our analysis. We compared descriptive characteristics across both education attainment categories, so for lower education and higher education. We used t-test for continuous variables and chi-square for categorical values. We computed the adjusted prevalence of high sensitivity CRP over 3 for each group by educational attainment. And we used logistic regression to calculate the odds ratios and 95% confidence intervals for prevalence of HSCRP over 3 milligrams per liter in older age across risk education categories. And we adjusted for baseline age, gender, and race, and follow-up use of aspirin, cholesterol-lowering medication, presence of fever, or presence of cancer. So that last arrow here, these are factors for at follow-up. And the reason we did that is because any one of these factors can affect HSCRP levels. So what we saw in our descriptive characteristics is that the risk factors are very similar for both education levels. So hypertension, very similar, 28.5 versus 28. Hypercholesterolemia, 8.2 versus 5.9, a little bit of a difference there. Diabetes, very similar, 0.6 versus 0.7. But the interesting findings were that we had a greater percentage of baseline smokers in the lower education group, 30.1 versus 18.6. Mean HSCRP was also higher in the lower education group, so 2.3 versus 1.9. And the percentage of participants with HSCRP over 3, which was our cut point, is also higher in the lower education group, so 25.4 versus 18.2. And over here we have the odds ratios and 95% confidence intervals of having a high sensitivity CRP at follow-up depending on participant baseline risk factor category. So what we have is the lower education categories on top, the higher education categories on the bottom. Our reference group is going to be lower education and any two or more risk factors high. And what we found is that both low-risk categories, so low education, low risk, and high education, low risk, and let me see if I can find the cursor. Here we go. So both low-risk categories have the same odds ratios. So 0.55 for low education, low risk, and 0.55 for high education, low risk. And what we can see is that as we add high risk factors, the odds ratios go up. So from 0.55 to 0.95 to 102, and then down here for the higher education, from 0.55 to 0.58 to 0.82 to 0.94. So we concluded that regardless of SES, participants with favorable baseline CVD risk factor profiles or who were low risk early in life had lower CRP levels at older age. And we know the benefits of low risk. We know that low risk has been associated with lower CHD, lower CVD, lower all-cause mortality, and increased life expectancy. Low risk has also been associated with lower markers of inflammation after long-term follow-up. And this second finding is from the CHAS study. Low risk in middle age has been associated with better quality of life, less medication use, and less illness in old age. However, it's unclear if the benefits of low risk persist across SES strata. We know from the Framingham Heart Study that low SES at any point in life leads to higher levels of inflammatory markers. But our findings are in accordance to the findings of Stamler and colleagues, who found that the most influential factor for mortality relative risk is risk factor status. SES by income, how they measured it, has a moderate synergistic effect. So some recommendations. Achieving low-risk status can help overcome health disparities across SES strata. Low-risk status can be achieved by targeting lifestyle factors and behaviors that play a role in CVD risk. And public health efforts promoting the benefits of low-risk status can help achieve goals for CVD prevention. Thank you. Yes, we do.
But could you repeat the question? Sorry.
The question is if we have biological samples from the enrollment group, and yes, we do. We have all the samples that were collected during the baseline examination in Chicago as part of the CHAZ sample.
Have cotinine been analyzed?
I'm sorry, what was that? I'm not aware of the exact biological samples, but if you want, we can exchange email, and I'll go ask the people in Chicago if they have that.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Yes. Well, we had a very... how we decided on the education categories. Because this was done 40 years ago, most of the people we had in that sample were people who were already employed by industry, and we had very unbalanced education levels among those people. So we ended up kind of bunching them all together into those two groups to kind of make things more comparable, more easily comparable. But these broad categories have been used before in the literature.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.